Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the Ultimate Test Stack features their best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're gonna feel like a new man after trying the Ultimate Test Stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by 3-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the USA in an FDA-inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, you can save 10% off your order at LegacySubs.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's LegacySubs.com. LegacySubs.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
It's about to get Gabby AF.
We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less, because you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Gabby AF. We are post-WrestleMania, so it's been a crazy, wild weekend and a crazy, wild week. So I had to bring in one of my good friends, WWE Hall of Famer, Mr. Devon Dudley. Hello, Devon. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Gabby?
I am good. I had to bring you on my show before, Bubba, because as I've always said, you are my favorite half of the tag team. So
well,
I had to get
you
on.
I'm a lot of people's favorite when it comes to the Dudley
Boys.
Bubba,
that's what I've heard.
You know, Bubba scares a lot of people. So, you know.
Listen, he definitely does. I don't blame him for doing that. He's a little scary, but I will say this about him, and this is the one nice thing I will always say about him. People like to say that because he does come off a little scary, I would say, on TV, and he's kind of always the bad guy. He has always been, and he's going to kill me for saying this, because he's like, don't tell anybody that I'm nice, but he's always very, very kind to me and always been supportive of me and will send me texts when I'm doing things well and gives me advice and stuff. So, like, shout out to Bully, because I do love him, even though, you know, he's Bully Ray. But I get to see a different side of him, which is nice, working with him for as long as I did.
Both. I mean, I've had 20 years with him, 20 years plus with
him. A little bit longer than me.
You know, I've seen a little bit of the Bubba that nobody else sees, so I get it. I understand. Yeah. But I also understand why he acts the way he acts with people. You know, if people could take advantage of you, they will. And then what they do is they kind of like, oh, I don't mean any harm. Yes, you do. Stop lying. Yes, you
when
do.
When you catch them in it, you know.
And that's when,
real
yeah.
Like that. If you catch them in it, they like to be like, oh, they like to play dumb. Like, Oh my God, that was a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did.
And I love it because Bubba calls him out on it. Bubba completely calls him out.
We're all New Jersey, New Yorkers. We read right through the bullshit. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? Absolutely. That's why me and you became friends so quickly, because you were like, I already know.
Well, not only
no
that,
BS with you.
Not only that, but Bubba goes, you're gonna think she's just beautiful. And I was like, yeah, I do.
Wow. Well, you know,
see, there you go.
Looks only get you so far, though, because if you don't have a good personality, who cares if you're good looking or not?
Well, that's the way I feel about me. You know, looks only get me so far. You know.
Thank God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at you and you're like, wow, that's a damn handsome man. But like, at least he has a good personality too. Thank God. Otherwise, you're just boring.
See, I love that.
So, I mean, we got to talk. I mean, it's been a crazy week in pro wrestling. So I'm very happy to have you here, because there's a lot we got to talk about. Obviously, so many positives coming out of WrestleMania. We got to talk about, speaking of Bubba, you know, special guest refereeing as well, which I popped for huge. I was actually on the floor for that, and it was amazing, and I loved it so much. Before we get into Mania and all that kind of stuff, though, there is something you know, that kind of just happened. I had to get your take on, we were talking about it a little before and you were like, save it for the show, Gabby, let's just start recording. But AEW Dynamite last night, they decided to air the actual footage from, you know, the altercation between CM Punk and Jack Perry backstage at All In last year. I'm dying to get your thoughts on what you think of them airing this on Dynamite and kind of just actually showing the footage of what had happened. And this is coming off of, you know, the reaction of CM Punk's interview with Ariel Helwani where he talked about it. So what are your thoughts on AEW showing this and just everything in general?
Well, you know, it is a sad thing that happened in the business with the whole thing, you know, when CM Punk was there, because nobody really should have to go through that stuff. No company should ever have to see that. But at the same token, you know, when you have the inmates running the asylum, then this is what happens. So, again, I'm not there. I'm not in AEW. So I don't really know the going-ons in there, but I don't think it should have been appropriate to air something like that, even though it happened months ago, or almost a year ago, however long it was. That's something that you don't just air out. That's your dirty laundry. You keep that to yourself. The problem was handled. Punk moved on. Now it's time for AEW to move on. You know, Jack Perry, you know, Jack Perry is somewhere in Japan, and let's just leave it like that. So to actually air that, I'm not sure why they did that, and I don't get it, nor do I understand it. You know, they might say, oh, well, we needed to expose this because Punk needed to be exposed. No, you did it for a cheap rating. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not the only one that feels that way. There's a lot of AEW hardcore fans that feel the same way. So I'm not saying anything negative about the company, but I do think this is one of the problems that Tony Khan has. He has a lot of yes people and not enough people to tell him, no, don't do this. Because if he's in fact really running the show fully on his own, then he should know better than to do something like that. And that's not going to cause nothing but negativity. Sometimes negativity works, but in that aspect, not so much. And I look at it like this also, because a lot of people kind of agreed with Punk and what happened and what he did. There was a lot of people, even AEW fans, that agreed with it. There were some that didn't, but there were a lot of people that did agree with it, because it just seems like the inmates are running the show over there with no organization or things like that that's going on over there. So look, again, I don't know. You know, because I don't work for the company. I'm a big fan of a lot of the talent that's there. I met a lot of them on the Jericho Cruise. I met a lot of them at autograph signings. Great guys, really great guys. You know, I've got nothing negative to say about anybody in that company. Everybody that I've met has been nothing but respectful towards me. And, you know, it's been given right back. But in saying that, again, you cannot have the inmates running the asylum. This is exactly what happened with WCW. There was no one to say no. There was no, and I'm going to probably get criticized for saying this, but there was no Vince McMahon who, you know, regardless of the allegations that's going on against him right now, he did keep a tight ship. And you would think twice about doing anything if Vince said no to something. You didn't question him. You did exactly what he said, and that was it, or you were gone. And I think that's what Tony's missing over there. I think he has to get control of his organization, because if not, it's going to be another WCW. And this is a prime example.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a talent with AEW, I know that there's, you know, reports coming out, rumors that, like, a lot of talent are unhappy that that had happened and that they showed the footage. Like, they just think the morale is kind of low in that sense. I mean, if this doesn't, I think it had to be motivated by wanting to up a rating at this point, because I don't really see what else the point was. It wasn't such a wild story that it completely went against what Punk said happened. Whereas if it was something opposite and Punk had completely lied about the situation, I'd be like, yeah, then show it. That makes sense. Then it's going to make them look better. I didn't see it that way. I saw it as, okay, this is kind of what he had said happened. I get it. And like, if you don't see I don't know what the rating is. It hasn't, I don't even think it's even come out yet from like last night, but do you think this is just an epic and utter fail for AEW? Even if it does pop the rating like they need to, is that enough to make this not seem like such a negative decision? Or do you think even if it pops a rating, they get a million views or something like that from that? Isn't that kind of just like a cheap kind of way to get those ratings? Like, what do you, would you agree with that? Or do you think, okay, you can get a rating at this point?
Well, I do agree with that. I think it's a cheap way to get a rating like that. But I also think that it might not get the rating that they think it might get. I could be totally wrong. I could be off. You know, they can get over a million views after this. I don't know. But I don't, in my heart and my years of being in this business, I just don't see it happening. So I really wish Tony could bring somebody in there that really knows how to run a wrestling company the way it should. Somebody that will tell him no when you need to tell him no. Somebody that's going to take charge. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to have a company for long. I don't care how much money you have. You can keep pouring money into a bottomless pit. And if you don't get your organization correct, it's not going to last. Prime example, WCW. Prime example, the beginnings of TNA with the Dixie Carter's regime. You know, her dad had a lot of money too and was basically pouring money into an organization that kept making mistakes after mistakes after mistake. And with that being said, they paid the ultimate price when they almost went under. And then the new regime came in, someone took over and started to correct the mistakes that were done. And now they got like a whole new shot in the arm. It's like they're doing great now, which I'm very happy to say. Very proud of the people in TNA. But, you know, that's something that AEW should maybe take, you know, a page out of their book and move totally in that direction and see how it works for them. Because again, if they don't, it's not going to last. It's just not going to be around. And it's going to be a place where nobody's going to want to go, regardless of how much money you throw at people. I mean, you know, some people would like to say, well, if I throw them $3 million, they'll be happy. Yes and no. But, you know, you bring a lot of people in on contract and you bring them in for about a month or two and then you sit them home. It's like they're no longer the toy of the week. It's like you play with them for a little bit and then all of a sudden, I'm going to put you on the shelf for a while. You go sit back. I don't really have plans for you right now, but I'm going to go to the next toy. And that's what it seems like it's going on. And that I hear a lot of. I don't really watch the show. Then again, I don't really watch wrestling that much at all. I do watch a lot of WWE. That, you know, because I'm a WWE guy. Hands down, WWE guy. ECW guy, all the way. And I'm not saying anything negative or bad about AEW. It's just that I don't really watch the product that much to know a lot of the people that is in that organization. But, you know, when you hear stuff on social media, when you hear other wrestlers and other people within the business talk about it, you can't help but to go, man, this is not going to last long if they don't shape up.
And the crazy thing to me, and people were pointing out all over Twitter last night and social media, was the crowd was chanting CM Punk at certain points in the show. When, like, they show how the actual altercation on the screen during the show, people were chanting CM Punk. And during one of the matches, too, I don't remember which one, they were like, that has to be the like the worst, sorry, I don't know, I have a cold. That has to be one of the worst backfires in it, is you have someone like a CM Punk that you're trying to basically say, like, hate him, and the crowd is chanting for him. And those are like diehard fans. They're at your show. So I just think as a fan, and I'm just a fan, right? I watch as a fan. I watch everything as a fan. Mm-hmm. I think that was a misfire. And I don't like to talk negatively about anything, especially on my show, because what do I know compared to someone like you or some of the people that I talk to who have been in this business much longer than me. But it was almost like one of those things where I feel like opening Pandora's box in that sense and showing something like that goes on, I don't even want to see it, because I feel like I shouldn't be having to see that, if that makes sense. Like, I should be watching what you show me on the screen, and all that stuff should be dealt with between the people that are in the business, behind the scenes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Not me. It's not for me to make a judgment about. It's not, I don't have the actual stance to do that, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm going to say this. The WWE made CM Punk. CM Punk made CM Punk. So yeah. When he went over to AEW, he was like a treasure. You know, he was like the diamond in the rough. He really was. So, and I think Paul Heyman said it best, how many times he's been canceled, but yet he keeps coming back and reinventing himself and becoming more than what he was before he was canceled. I think in this aspect, and I'm not looking at it, and maybe it's not the right thing to compare it to, but if CM Punk was canceled in AEW, now he goes back home where he belongs, and now he's becoming a bigger star than he was before he left. And now CM Punk is back on top again. People love CM Punk. People want to see CM Punk. So to actually try to maybe show that video because you're going to try to put him in a negative light, when someone goes back home that was popular in WWE and gets over the way CM Punk has, you trying to hurt him or embarrass him is really not going to work, especially if the man is telling the truth about what he said went on. And like you said, it's been documented. It's on video that exactly how he described everything was to a T, exactly what happened. So kudos to, you know, for CM Punk. And, you know, I don't know what I can say about AEW and Tony Khan for doing that. But like I said, he's now even a bigger star now in WWE, even more than when he before he left.
Right.
You know, to go anywhere else. So and AEW did not do that for him.
Right. And it could have been that way for him, really. Like when he changed the game, when he did go to AEW, in my opinion, when his debut was like the most watched thing ever. It was Chicago, and then he did it again in Chicago for WWE. Mm-hmm. So like, and like I always talk about CM Punk in this way for me as well, because I wasn't watching. And when he was in WWE his first time around, mm-hmm. I know CM Punk starting as a fan because I only started watching as a fan from the beginning of AEW, really, for me, like 6 years. So to see this evolution of CM Punk in my eyes as a newer fan in this kind of perspective, like I do have so much love for him because of what he brings everywhere he goes. And he's just monumental in that sense. Like he's going to have fans, people are going to love him no matter what. And he's just one of those people. And I think because he does whatever he wants and because he's not scared to say whatever he wants is why people like him so much. And it's why the fans are so behind him because.
Well, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's kind of like, I'll forget too many headshots. It's kind of like, it's kind of like what you said about Bubba. You know, it's like Bubba's real. He's going to tell you how it is, whether you like it or not. And that's just the way it is. You know, I happen to have met CM Punk for the first time this past WrestleMania in an elevator. I was getting on the elevator because I saw CM Punk
in the elevator too.
That sure did. We bumped into each other. I was like, hey, what's going on? Like Bubba liked to say the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I saw you. I was like, hey, you got any iced tea? No, but, you know, I met him for the first time because Bubba had met him previously back in 2011 at a gym in Orlando. And I had never met him because when he came into WWE in 2005, Bubba and I had left for Japan and TNA. So I never got the opportunity to meet him. And then, like I said, this past weekend at WrestleMania, me and my wife and kids, we were in the elevator and Dominic comes in. You know, I'd known Dominic for a long time and even when I was producing. Then all of a sudden, the next stop was CM Punk. I was like, oh, he looked at me. I looked at him. I was like, yo, what's going on, man? He was like, Devon. You know, we were like, hey. I was like, hey, you know, nice to meet you, man. I've never met you before. And I told him the whole story, how he met Bubba first. And, you know, I said, but don't worry about it. I'm the better looking of the Dundies. Yes. He kind of cracked and smiled. And I was like, no, I said, all jokes aside, I said, but pleasure meeting you, man. He came off as one of the most pleasant guys I think I'd ever met. Again, I'm not the Young Bucks. I'm not Kenny Omega. You know, Jack Perry, if they all have beef with him, that's them. I'm not going to judge Punk because they have beef with him. I only judge Punk how he is with me. He was a complete gentleman. And, you know, kudos, my hat goes off to him. And I'm glad he's not out here in social media going back and forth with this crap and giving life to it. Thank God he's not. He doesn't need to. Listen, Punk, if you ever see this or if the writers, you know, ever if the dirt sheet writers ever put this out, listen, you don't need to go out there and do this. Forget them. You know, forget that crap. You know, move on. You're bigger than that. Go on and do your thing and continue to be the greatest CM Punk of all time. That's what I think Punk should do at this point in stage of the game. And I think that's what Punk will do.
Yes, I agree. I 100% agree on all that. And I think the fact that this had come out after such a successful WrestleMania, which I think we should shift and talk about because it was just probably the greatest WrestleMania of all time, which is everyone saying that. Listen,
it was great. It was great. WrestleMania 17 will always be in my heart. Why? TLC match. The Dudleys, Edge and Christian, and Artie stole the show. And then it was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. So when something else tries to top that, I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. No, WrestleMania 17 will always be number one in my book because I was in it.
Yeah, I mean, you have a little bit different of a perspective than I do. Just that, you know, that small TLC match didn't go down in history or anything.
It never really got over.
Never really got over. No, all bully's fault, by the way.
Yeah.
but no, I mean, for me as a fan, this is now, besides studying and watching WrestleMania's back, which I started to do when I did get into, you know, working this way, this was my sixth WrestleMania watching as being in it, in the business, I would say. And it's the third WrestleMania I've been to, which is kind of cool. By far, greatest WrestleMania for me to ever see. That moment for Cody was just, I think, and I just think that main event in general, even having the surprises that they had, and I think it was just epic. Maybe because I was on the floor too when it was going on, so my experience was like there. I wasn't sitting up in a suite. I wasn't in the press box like I was the first night. Like, I actually got to be on the floor experiencing how these diehard fans are experiencing. People were crying. Like, it was insane. You know, Undertaker showing up, Cena showing up. Like, it was just, I never thought I would be even in the presence of Undertaker showing up at a WrestleMania, because I'm like, oh, that's never going to happen in my time ever again. And I was there for it, and I got to experience, like, the bong, like, the dong, and the, I don't even know if that's the right word for
well,
it.
Well, the great thing about it is they told a great story.
Yes.
Leading up to this. And that's why when you can emotionally invest in a fraction like the Bloodline or Cody and, you know, Seth Rollins being together, when you can actually invest in something like this, that's great, because emotionally you will become attached. And this whole Cody crybaby thing, what The Rock was doing, how The Rock was once one of the beloved wrestlers of all time. You hear his music, the fans would go crazy. Now you hear his music and the fans would boo, even though in some aspects they were cheering. But, you know, he became a heel. And, you know, the way they put you on that roller coaster ride leading up to, you know, Cody, you know, going winning and going over on Roman, breaking the streak. I mean, it was phenomenal. I enjoyed it. And again, I don't really watch it as much as I should. I try to catch it when I can. But the whole Bloodline thing I've been watching since day one.
Yeah.
And fell in love with it. Rhea and Becky Lynch, fantastic, you know. The Street Profits, you know, going in there doing their things. And I love those guys. Those guys are great. And a great tribute to the Dudley Boys with the What's Up and my Testify and the spinning around. I thought it was great. I did mention to Martez, listen, you're spinning way too much. I only did two spins. That was it. You had so much damn energy. You were just going.
he's insane.
He is totally, I mean, God, I wish I had his energy. Shit, I wish I had his legs.
Yeah.
Good God. I wish I had the cartilage in his legs. I'd be able to do the things that man does. My legs are shot.
He's amazing.
He is.
He's literally amazing. But
I mean, it was really was a good WrestleMania. You know, all jokes aside about WrestleMania 17, you know, I'm glad that they were able to make 40, you know, which in my opinion is a milestone. I know 50 would be probably even bigger, but 40 was really, really good. With a lot of the matches that we saw, there wasn't a dull moment, and they sold out back to back. I don't know any wrestling company that can sell out the same arena back to back the way the WWE does. Kudos to the new era of Triple H and the WWE. I love it. Again, I respect Vince and what he's accomplished from his father and his grandfather. But, you know, with everything that's going on right now, I don't touch, not my business. I'm not with the company anymore, so I don't say anything on terms of that. But I'm really excited to see where Triple H and the new era goes. And I think big things on the horizon. I'm sorry, but there isn't another company out there that's hotter than the WWE right now.
Oh, not even close, in my opinion. I think it's hitting on all cylinders. And I had friends texting me that don't watch pro wrestling, that only kind of watch casually in the sense that they're my friends and I want to talk to them about it. And they were texting me about WrestleMania, like, Cody finally finished his story. Like, well, and they're saying this to me and like, they don't even know. And I think that's a testament to this new era of the WWE. Bringing The Rock in obviously brought those casual fans in as well. It's The Rock, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what I loved about the whole story is that even if The Rock wasn't brought in, I would still be as emotionally invested as I was, because that's the kind of person that Cody is. I think he's just, to be the face of the company in what he's done and the story he's told, going to AEW, doing this, coming back, having his family, like, it's just, it was just perfection. Like, I think the emotion at the end when everyone came out, when everyone's crying, like, you can't, it's almost like, you almost don't think it's almost like a, what was I going to say? Like a story that you'd watch on TV, like a movie. It's mm-hmm. It's going to be made into a movie at some point. I can guarantee his whole life in like 20 years, 30 years, are going to look back and Cody Rhodes is going to have an epic story. And it's just so great, because bringing in those casual fans, I think, is what is always the goal, is to bring people back and to make pro wrestling cool again, which The Rock said that he has done now. But I think also something that Triple H is doing in this era is bringing in outside fans that wouldn't be watching, with the inclusions of people like Logan Paul, because mm-hmm. Logan Paul hits on all cylinders, especially for my age group and especially for the people that are only on social media, the TikToks, the influencers. They're all watching pro wrestling right now because Logan Paul is such a massive star. Yes. And he's so damn good. Like, I'm sorry.
I did not see him picking it up this fast. I don't think anybody saw this. I think they probably looked at him as being some guy that said, oh, I can do this. And nowhere near as good as he is. Logan Paul is extremely good. And kudos, my hat goes off to him, because this is something that you can't just wake up and decide you want to do. And all of a sudden, it just becomes natural. He's a natural. He really, really is. And one of the things I wanted to say also was that, going back to the whole Cody Rhodes story with The Rock, and I loved Undertaker being, I loved everybody from John Cena to Undertaker. And blah, blah, blah. I don't know how, if we would have did this, I don't know how it would have been, how you would have been able to take out The Undertaker. But I think the final nail in the coffin for that to help Cody would have been Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. And I say that because of the history between Steve Austin and The Rock. If you can remember the last time these two met, The Rock beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. And there was a lot of matches before that where Stone Cold went over. And, you know, I think that remember the last thing we saw was Austin down on his back, Rock sitting up, whispering something to him, talking to him, and this and that, pushed Earl Hebner out the way because he only wanted him and Austin to hear what was going on and what he was saying to him. And it was like that little bit right there showed me that there could have been a possible continuation where, you know, the lights go out, there's Austin. Austin comes in. Now he puts the Rock down. He takes him out. But, you know, again, me being a producer in the WWE, sometimes ideas like that, even though we say that would have been great, we don't know what it would have taken to have Austin be there. And maybe Austin couldn't make it. Maybe he had other obligations somewhere else. I don't know. But to me, that would have been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. And I think that was a lot of people were expecting to see Stone Cold. Like, it was kind of what was in the air. It was like, is it going to be Stone Cold? And then when you heard that when the lights went out and it was The Undertaker, it was like, holy shit, because no one expected it, because they really did think it was going to be Steve.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Steve. Yeah,
so like it was almost like, thank God they had that, because it was kind of a whole different kind of shock.
I still cheered just as hard, you know. I was still just as happy, you know. I was in my sky booth going, yes, take it, go. Meanwhile, I've stolen how many titles from him? And I'm looking at it as a fan.
That's the best, though. Like, I love talking to guys like you who are fans of it, even though you've been in the business for so long, because, you know, some people can be jaded or they can be upset with kind of what has happened in their careers or bitter or whatever. And like, you're a fan of it while you're in it, which is why I love it. And that's why I love talking to you about it, because you're always honest about your opinions, but you also talk about it as a fan too, as opposed to being able to have the producer brain, which you also do have. So it's so interesting that I love that you were marking out for him, just like everybody else, and excited.
Listen, you know, just because, and I've said this before, and I know Bubba liked to tease a lot of people for this, and he's even teased me, just because you're in the business and you work with people, and that doesn't mean that you can't be invested into the storyline as well. I don't think that I'm on a higher pedestal that I can't be like the guy down below that enjoys watching professional wrestling as a fan. You know, if I feel like I should be happy and show my excitement, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I don't care about what anybody says. Like Bubba used to always tease me, you know, like I would wear like the new Dudley Boy shirt would come out. So, you know, I would get one and then wear it. You know, I wake up that morning, put it on, wear it through the airports and you know, going to the arena. And Bubba was like, what the hell, you're a mark. Well, who the hell are you wearing your shirt for? I'm like, dude, I should wear my shirt if I want to get other people. The greatest person to do that is Hulk Hogan. He doesn't go anywhere without wearing something that says Hulkamania. And you know what? He's a walking billboard for himself. Because at the end of the day, people will see that and go, some people might say, oh, yeah, I've seen that shirt before. Some might say, I've never seen it. You know what? I need to go get one. Where can I get one? And guess what? That's money in your pocket. So why wouldn't you walk around with your shirt? Of course, I'm going to be a mark. I'm going to wear my shirt. You're damn right I am.
Well, and a million people want pictures with you, and then they're going to put those pictures up, and everyone's going to be like, where can I get that shirt that he's wearing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, if you're not getting yourself over, no one's going to do it for you. That's the first thing I ever learned.
That's 100% true. Did you learn that from Bubba? Did you learn that from Bubba?
Listen, he's told me a lot of things that some of them, yes, I keep with me every day, but he's probably given me some of the best advice, I will say, because
Bubba's very good when it comes to stuff like that. He's extremely good. Knowledge of the business and just life. And if, you know, giving you advice, he's very, very good. Kudos to my brother. I take my hat off to him. I love him to death, even though sometimes I like to take a chain, wrap it around his head. But I still love him to death.
Yes, same. I love him. Shout out to him. What would you think of his special guest refereeing at Mania? How'd you think
I thought it was great. You know, I would have loved to have been out there. You know, I think a lot of people have to understand, you know, sometimes the body doesn't move the way it, you know, wants to. And, you know, we had wrestled at the ECW arena. What was it, like three nights prior to WrestleMania? And, you know, I'm not really in the ring that much like that anymore. So when I do a match, my body's like, oh my God, I'm like shutting down. And you know, my back was killing me. My legs were killing me. I was like, oh my God. Somebody asked me, why weren't you there? I said, man, if I would have walked down that ramp with Bubba, it would have been WrestleMania 50 by the time I would have got to the bottom of it. I was sore as hell, man. Just, and we didn't even do that much at the ECW arena with Tommy Dreamer and Onita from FMW, but it was enough to where, man, I was sore the next 2 or 3 days, man. Good God. So, you know, again, certain things like that, you know, I love it that Bubba represents the family and he goes out there and does what he does. And the great thing about it was people were saying that people were chanting, where's Devon? Well, that's even better. You know, it's not like I'm being forgotten. So, hey, there you go. I'm not even there.
Listen, that's all. You don't even have to be there for people to miss you. That's how you know you're over. Exactly. You know what I mean? And I thought he looked good. Don't let him know that I think he looks good, but I thought he looked great. And I thought he did a really, really good job. I popped huge in the stands with everybody else when he came out. I thought it was really, really awesome. And, you know, you mentioned ECW, obviously, you know, Mr. Paul Heyman just inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. His speech, I think, was like the most watched Hall of Fame speech of like all time.
Listen, which, his speech made me sweat.
It was amazing. I felt like that. You know why I love Paul Heyman? Because that's what he reminds me of, is like, that's how I would talk to my friends and to people, is just saying the things that he said, which is bad. But like, I love that about Paul Heyman so much. What did you, like, obviously you know him and you know a lot more about ECW than I ever would. What did you think about the induction, his speech, kind of everything about that?
I thought the induction was great for Paul because Paul really did deserve it. Paul helped change the face of professional wrestling. Of course, along with Cactus Jack and Terry Funk and Onita bringing FMW style from Japan to the United States, which ECW was born. But with the ideas and the booking of Paul Heyman and how he ran that company, it was great. And how he gave a bunch of misfits an opportunity when other wrestling organizations wouldn't have dared given us an opportunity. He did. And he made us into stars, you know? And I like to say we were stars in ECW, but we became superstars in WWE. And so, you know, in order for us to be able to become that superstar, first we had to become a star, and Paul Heyman helped us do that. So well deserved for him being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And again, if it wasn't for him, there would be no Attitude Era. There would be no Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, there would be none of us. So I'm very happy and proud that, you know, WWE and now the fans have acknowledged him to put him in to the Hall of Fame. I thought it was great. Now his speech, on the other hand, ooh, that was a little crazy for me because, you know, no one has ever spoken like that at
I
the Hall
love
of Fame.
it.
I mean, he kept it real. I mean, that was one of the things. He kept it real, but no one had ever done that before. And the language that was being used, I'm listening to it in the arena, so I don't know what was bleeped and what wasn't at home, but I'm sure you can make out what he was saying, even though it was being bleeped. But you know, that was probably the first time I think anyone has ever done that before, and that's just true Paul Heyman form. You know, he's not going to be the same like everybody else. Paul is going to be Paul. He's going to be different, but he's going to be entertaining, and your eyes will be glued to that TV set from the time he comes on until the time he says goodnight.
And I thought it was a beautiful moment when he, said how proud he was to be working with Paul Levesque in this new era, and he kind of stood up and shook his hand. Like, I thought that was a really, really amazing moment,
Well,
especially obviously for Paul, but.
I'm gonna say this. You know, Triple H, Paul Levesque, he's great in his own when it comes to booking and psychology in pro wrestling. Paul Heyman, we all know what he can do. Put those two together, and this will be an era that will never be topped. I mean, I you know, nothing again against Vince McMahon and what he's done for over 50 years. But, you know, just like Vince used to tell talent, you know, sometimes it gets to that point where, you know, the old line has to step aside and let that new line come in and bring in, you know, that new feel to the business. And this is what we needed. This was the shot in the arm that we needed. Unfortunately, what transpired on how he got there in terms of Triple H, you know, wasn't good for business, but you know something, we're getting over that, we're getting past it, and Triple H is doing a fantastic job along with Paul Heyman and the rest of the crew that's behind him, making this new era work. And you know, I was so happy to see Stephanie McMahon, you know, open up the show, and I'm a big fan of Stephanie. I gotta be careful what I say about Stephanie. Last time I said I was infatuated with her when I should have used the word, not infatuated. I should have used admired, and the people went crazy. Oh, Devon's in love with Stephanie. Did you hear that,
Oh
Triple
my
H? Oh my
gosh.
God. I text Stephanie. I said, Stephanie, she started laughing. She goes, Devon, I know. She was like, they took a word and just ran with it.
Of
But
course they
you ain't
did.
got, she's like, you ain't got to tell me. I know you're infatuated with me. Everybody's infatuated with me. But she was
Yeah, see,
joking. You
I
know,
like that answer.
she was joking. You know, we have laughs. Stephanie is funny like that. And, you know, I just remember when I saw those internet stuff going on, I went, my heart dropped. I said, oh my God. I was like, why would they do that? I was like,
Why? Because you
no.
know why they do that. Come on, let's be real. People want
Listen,
to get the clicks.
it's funny. My wife was looking at something on the internet to where it was like, you know, couples in WWE and they had me and her in it. Some of the comments were, I thought D-Von was gay and this and that, blah, blah, because I was upset about the sheet writers. When I had my stroke and I had my back surgery, they like put me out the pasture. They thought I was dead. They were making
Oh
people
my
think that I
gosh.
was on like one life support. And so I went off, and on my podcast that I had at the time, Table Talk, and I went off on it, and Then I said, well, what happens if I said I was gay? Would you use that as front news? I said, okay, so I'm gay. And guess what? I'm going to be on a RuPaul drag queen show too. I was like, now, let's see if they do that. And sure enough, the next day, Devon's gay. He said he was gay. Devon's going to be on a RuPaul drag queen show. And I just remember looking at my wife going, you got to be kidding me. These idiots really did that. And
it
was
great. Anything you say at this point, you know, social media anything. Is such a cesspool for, they could literally take this podcast and cut up little things and put mm-hmm. stuff together and be like, this is what Devon said. And this is how he said it. It's happened before where people will say, oh yeah, this is, they said this. And I've had wrestlers literally reach out to me and be like, this, you know, this wasn't how he said it. And I said, no, 100%. And I fight back and I'll say something and be like, if you actually listen to the full podcast, that's not what he said, or he said it this way and you guys are just taking it and running with it. Mm-hmm. The things that people will do, even if it's bad publicity to get, like, that's what kills me, because I will never bullshit in that sense. I will never sit here and be like, oh yeah, like I'm going to say this for clicks. I never want my guests to feel that way. I never want you guys to think that's what I'm running with and that's what I'm doing, because what I'm doing is I just want to have conversations with my friends about pro wrestling because I fucking love it. And exactly. that's what we're going to talk about. And you have the history and you have that knowledge, and I just like hearing this kind of stuff. So I just hate that negative bullshit, and it is everywhere. And it sucks that it's everywhere because it takes away from the good shit, because that's not – people don't want it. People get bored exactly. of positivity, which is sad.
Exactly. But, so I will say this on your show. To all you dirt sheet writers, I'm not gay. I said that because of the fact that some of you assholes would take it and put it out there when it wasn't true, and to see if you would actually bite, and you did. Number two, I didn't have one foot in the grave. I wasn't dying. Yes, I had a stroke. Yes, I had back surgery. I said, but I'm still here live and in living color, baby.
Kicking
and going. And also, I like Stephanie McMahon as a person, as an individual. I respect her. No, I'm not in love with her. She's in love with her husband, just like I'm in love with my wife. So please stop the negative sayings and going ons and putting it out there just so people can click on to your site.
Yeah. And about everything. That's a PSA. Let's put that one out there. Let's just make that the headline.
Yeah.
Stop with the negative bullshit.
Yes. Stephanie is a very good friend of mine. She talked to my wife when I had my stroke, and she was there all in all. And I will always respect her and admire her and Triple H for in my time of look like, you know, when I was sick, they were both there to welcome me back. And, was able to really, really give me the boost of confidence to get better. And that's exactly what happened. But you won't see them print that. You won't see that.
That's boring.
That's too boring.
That's boring, man.
I'm putting over people. Yeah, I'm putting over people. I'm not burying them.
Don't do that. We all know you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, come on. That's not how we do things here. Who else can we bury? No, I'm just kidding. but speaking of Stephanie, obviously it was great to see her and back. I hope she's really, really back. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been confirmed or anything like that. But speaking of, obviously, and Heyman, you know, I think the saddest part about Roman losing is that now if he takes some time off, we're not going to see Paul Heyman on our screens every single week with him.
You might see him with somebody. I don't know. He might.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So that's what I was going to ask you. Who would you like to see him advocate with now?
I could, you know, he speaks highly of this individual, and I think with everything that's going on right now, Punk, I think CM Punk would be great because he speaks very highly of Punk, you know, anytime in a conversation, and him and Punk do have history together. So to see those two together, you know, if Roman decides to take some time off, which is well deserved after what he's put in for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, it'd be great to see Paul maybe, you know, go with Punk, and then maybe a year down the line or when, if Roman decides to take some time off, it would be great to maybe even see Punk and Roman go at it for the wise man.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I wonder too if they're going to set this up to make, if The Rock's going to come back and make it like a Roman Rock situation. We saw Raw after Mania. I think they're kind of writing the story for Cody and The Rock now for the next WrestleMania, because mm-hmm. first 45 minutes of Raw after Mania was the two of them again. Because I don't think Rock is ever like, I'm out. I'm not coming back, which is kind of what I love. He always leaves the door open to come back to the WWE.
Listen,
like,
we could be 110 years old and
he's never going anywhere.
We're going to be with our walkers, front teeth popping out of our mouth. still trying to do what we do best.
Yes. No, I know. You guys are crazy. I say this all the time. Pro wrestlers are insane. And I don't know how you guys do what you do. And I just talk about it. I don't even have to do it. And I'm just like, well, you're all a little crazy, but I love you guys anyway. But that's interesting. See, someone like me, I would love to see Heyman and Punk. I think that would be a really cool thing, but I don't think mm-hmm. Punk needs him because Punk is so epic in what he does.
No, I would absolutely. Rather, well, listen, Roman yes. didn't need Paul, but those two were great together.
Yes.
You know, those two were great. So, no, does Punk need Paul? No, but to put those two together, I think maybe the magic could be even bigger than what Punk would do by himself. It would just be that much bigger to add Paul Heyman to the mix. Look, a lot of people, you know, like Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, Jimmy Hart, like Jimmy, the Hart Foundation didn't need Jimmy, but yeah. bringing Jimmy on made the Hart Foundation even bigger than what they were. You know, Andre, as a heel, when he first turned and, you know, ripped the t-shirt and the cross off of Hogan. Yes, we needed Bobby then to endorse Andre as a heel, but after that, we didn't need it anymore, but it just made Andre even bigger than what he was. So in my opinion, I think the collaboration between Punk and Heyman would be great. I think it'd be yeah. great for business.
Listen, I don't hate it. I would rather see him with like a younger guy that's on the up and up that kind of needs the advice from him, the guidance of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like a Bron Breakker who's now fully done with NXT coming into the main roster and he's got all this hype around him and he's so good. Imagine like another big guy with Heyman that Heyman's just advocating for that's really starting that career with him and gets to guide him through it. That
well, you
would
know
be
what?
Kind of a cool story.
Well, you know what? How about this? How about we go back to the 80s? How about we go back when you had Bobby the Brain Heenan, you had Jimmy Hart, you had Lesnar, Johnny V. Everybody had a stable back then. Captain yeah. Lou Albano. Why not have like a Heenan family all over again? But instead of a Heenan family, you have a Heyman family. So you have like Punk. You have a couple of other young guys that can get that boost, you know, to move up. How about reinvent that again? And maybe yeah. bring that back aboard, you know. Have, you know, MVP have his own stable, you know. You know, it would be great to have these guys, you know, be able to bring looks like that back from the 80s. It was so popular, you know. Yeah. And to have that second or third man on the outside, I think it would be great to have a manager, bring back the days of the managers and things like that, you know. There's so much more storytelling that you can do. In terms of that. So I think that would be phenomenal if they ever decide to go that route, you know?
I actually agree. Maybe they're listening. Maybe it takes, you know, I don't think these are bad ideas. I think we got something going here. I don't know. I hope to see him every single week. He was a highlight for me, Paul Heyman. I think mm-hmm. insanely well-deserved in the Hall of Fame. He's one of my favorite people to watch on TV. And I will always say this, and he's not even a wrestler, which I love so much because he brings you in with the storytelling and the emotion, which is what drives me as a fan to watch every day. Mm-hmm. Before we go too, because we have to wrap soon, this is my final question. Give me the best bully, like D-Von story from maybe from the road, like whatever. Do you have one good story maybe to embarrass him a little bit? I don't know. I need something from the realm from, cause you know, if it's from the vault, he's probably fucking told it already and he doesn't care. So we need it from your side. We need a good one to end lightly. Cause we've gotten into some heavy stuff.
Okay. Let me see. Gosh, there's so many, there's some I can't tell.
Tell me those off air for sure.
I mean, you know, Bubba and I traveled a lot together, but then we didn't travel a lot because I traveled a lot with Maven mm-hmm. and Umaga, Batista, Rey Mysterio, Dawn Marie, people like that. So we did, ECW story, funny one. We were in Fort Lauderdale promoting the ECW show for Fort Lauderdale. And we're at a red light. And at the red light, these girls walk by. And it was myself, Big Dick Dudley, God rest his soul, with him, Bubba, and Sign Guy. And we're in the car. These girls pass by. And Big Dick Dudley, Alex goes, bro, look at those girls. Nice. Bubba goes, Dick, they're big. And he turned around and looked at us. He goes, so are we. We just all fell out in there.
That's amazing.
Another story I remember where Bubba basically, me and Alex would always do things, Big Dick Dudley, we would always do things to kind of push Bubba's buttons. And I went to the room because we weren't rooming this time together. It was Alex and Bubba. And I remember I went to the, wanted to use the car to go to the gym. Bubba wasn't in the room at the time. He went, I forgot where he was. So I said, Alex, I said, you think I can take the car and go to the gym? He goes, yeah, go ahead and take the car. So I took the car. I go to work out. I'm in the middle of my workout and I get a phone call from Bubba. I ignore it. Push it, you know, just push it to voicemail. And like even five more times, I go, Bubba, what is it? He goes, what the hell are you doing? I go, I'm at the gym. He goes, you cannot drive the car, Devon. I did not get the insurance. What the hell? I'm like, God. Bubba, I'm like, relax. I didn't injure the car. So now let's go six years down the road. We're in WWE now.
Uh-oh.
He comes to me. He goes, Devon, can I have the keys? Are you, well, we're going to go to the gym. I said, who's we? He goes, me and The Rock. We'll go to me and Rock. You're going to go to the gym in the morning. I was like, I'll go later. He was like, all right. So him and Rocky decide to go out drinking, and they're in the parking lot of the Marriott Hotel in Seattle. And I didn't know what they were doing at the time, but finally the morning time wakes up. I go downstairs. There's no keys at the front desk. I said, Bubba, where's the keys? He goes, oh, sorry, Devon. It's in my room. Come to my room and get it. I said, okay. So I go to his room. I get the keys. I said, where's the car? He tells me where the car is. I said, okay, fine. I get downstairs to the parking lot. I find the car. The whole front end of the car is bashed in. It's bashed in. The side of the car is bashed in. I called him. I said, Bubba, I said, what the hell happened to the car? He goes, oh, well, me and Rocky were drinking and, you know, Rocky took his car and, you know, I had ours and we just decided to play bumper cars. I go, you played bumper cars with a rental car? Are you out of your effing mind? I was like, I didn't have the insurance on. He's like, Devon, he was like, relax. Don't worry about it. Rock will pay for it. So I go to Rock. I go, Rock. He goes, Devon, what's going on? I go, your ass. I want money. He goes, for what? I go, you wrecked the car. He goes, oh, yeah, by the way. Yeah, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. I said, one of y'all better give me some money for that car. That's a lot of damage. So they decided to play bumper cars in the goddamn Marriott parking lot with two rental cars, one being mine.
I hope they paid for it. I hope they got it taken care of.
They did. You. They did. Him and Rocky both split it, so it was cool. Man. But when I saw Rock at the Hall of Fame, I was like, maybe it'll be a good time to tell him that I never received that check. Because, you know, he's right. Big baller now. So, about $20,000. Yeah, about $20,000 for that car, Rock.
Yeah. You know, maybe $50,000, make a profit off of it at this point.
Hey,
you know what I mean, he could
make a huge profit.
Yeah. Well, Devon, thank you. By the way, shout out, Bubba. We love you.
Yes. And Rock, we love you.
And The Rock, too. I don't know him, but I'm sure I would love him if I met him. But maybe one day. Maybe one day he'll come on the pod and we could talk about it and I'll bring this up for him.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining me. I had so much fun talking to you. I feel like the time just flew by.
It really did.
You're the best. And this has been great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. And anytime you want me on here, I'll be more than happy to go on.
You are the best. And as always, for everyone listening, we will have another episode next week, and I'm sure more crazy shit will ensue for us to talk about, so I cannot wait. Until then, LYMNB, love you most, no backs, my friends.